You're listening to Speak Free with Simon O'Connor, right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Well, I've got my mate Bruce back in Maryland there in the United States of America. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Well, so glad to be back. Oh, I'm tan, I'm rested, I'm ready from a lovely vacation in Florida. I'm not all that tan, it was mostly driving. Went down to the Keys and it was just good rest and good. My wife and I, or Nancy, as you know her, we call it we time. We needed we time, and we sure got it. It was great.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, yeah, when last we chatted, you had just arrived in Florida, obviously after the cyclones, but for a well-due break, or as you just said, a wee time. But we're also into other celebrations, so we've just had it, but you are celebrating Halloween as we speak.
Halloween, things that go bump in the night. My wife had her book club meeting here, and they're all dressed as witches having a coven. It's so fun to watch the kids all dress up. Simon, you must remember when you were here that... We just loved it. Americans just go. We love our holidays, and we've got pumpkins everywhere and ghosts hanging from trees. And right now, I've got a ghost in my tree, a black cat, bust with pumpkins and hay bales and turning leaves. It's really kind of fun. Happy Halloween!
Oh, it was. I have great and fond memories. New Zealanders don't really have the same pumpkins you do, but it was only when I got to the States. In fact, I think you and I went to like a pumpkin farm, and I mean, we are on radio, but just for listeners to understand, these huge pumpkins, which are easy to carve, and I remember that, huge bowls of candy, as you say, kids dressed up. It was something.
Yeah, the pumpkins can get into the thousands of pounds. The average pumpkin's about 5 to 10 pounds. It's a little bigger than a bowling ball, and every porch has got one.
Oh, they're fantastic. I remember badly trying to carve them out. But you say that everyone goes crazy in the best sense. They all go crazy. It's a wonderful celebration, actually. And yeah, I just remember worrying we're going to run out of candy.
Oh, it's a kid's thing too. You got the costumes. What are you going to be? And then when you carve the pumpkin, it's a real family event. You get the kids and get their hands in all that gooey crud in the middle. It's just a big gourd, and it's gooey and floppy, and the kids love it.
Oh, just go. Well, happy Halloween. And turning from obviously Halloween for you at the moment, in a couple of days' time, you've got the election. So what's going on?
We are days away from the final event. After all this waiting, all this stuff and controversy and assassination attempts and coups, if you will, we're almost here. And it's not looking good for Kamala. It really isn't. But I'd talk a little bit about Trump. Trump is just talking. He's now switched his tone almost to a vision rather than what how horrible Biden and Kamala are. He's moving into a vision, and that's an upbeat, and he's winning a lot of the swing states. Madison Square Garden, he did Joe Rogan. I don't know if you can get him or not. He's a podcaster. He's like the number one podcaster. Millions and millions and millions of young people listen to him every day. And he and Trump sat down for 3 full hours and covered just about anything, even professional wrestling. And then,
well, I'm happy to say we do have Rogan down here.
Yes. Rogan offered her 3 hours and she said, no. And she said, I'll give you an hour if you come to me. He said, no. So I don't think that's going to happen. And then he took, I guess he used it as a good rehearsal, because his big speech, Madison Square Garden, it's massive. It's Madison Square Garden, for goodness sake. And he had a massive speech there, sold out. It holds like 25,000. There was another 10, maybe 15, numbers get inflated, outside waiting to get in. And it went on for 6 hours. 6 hours of speakers. You had Hulk Hogan and Vance, and everybody was out.
Not without controversy, though, was it? Because, I mean, as you say, huge, but there was some comedian who really basically wasn't comedic, but quite insulting to the Puerto Ricans.
I'm right there with you. This comic, who is, he's famous for being insulting. he's a gross, I don't know if you remember old Don Rickles or whoever. He just called people names. And what he did was he really called Puerto Rico a pile of trash in the Atlantic Ocean. As a part of his gig, I mean, it's one line out of a 6-minute spot 4 hours before Trump even walks into the building. So, yeah, you can make it more than it is. But, and they're saying it was a hate fest. It's, you know, Hitler and, you know, the Nazis did this in 1938. They failed to remember, which is crucial, especially Hillary said 1938. Hillary said, that was the Nazi thing. Well, she should recall that her husband accepted the nomination for presidency of the United States in that very same building, too. in New York.
I find it idiotic, I have to say, Bruce. I mean, obviously I'm here on the other side of the world, but the whole, the basic premise is a massive rally, political rally at Madison Garden there in New York, and because there was an American Nazi rally in the 30s that somehow they're the same. And you're right, Bill Clinton's had rallies there. I mean, for heaven's sakes, the Nazis, the elite used to like drinking Fanta. So does that make every person who drinks the Fanta drink? I mean, it's just such a stupid argument. I must say I find it quite frustrating, even from an objective political point of view, that tie is being made. It's just so stupid. But do you think that's showing desperation from the Democrats?
Absolutely. From an objective political point of view, I agree with you. This is panic politics. This is plain and simple panic politics. The projection is just, it's outrageous. You've got, they're saying, democracies are at risk, and yet Kamala has received not one single vote. She's run for president twice and hasn't received a single vote. And her candidacy is just due to basically a coup. And she's lecturing us about democracy. That's just silly.
It strikes me that her campaign's changed. You know, when she got the nomination via the dumping of poor old Biden, who, of course, we never hear from anymore, but her slogan was joy. But that doesn't seem to be much joy coming from her campaign at the moment.
No, there's a lot of hate. She's channeling Hitler. Trump is now Hitler again. I'll say it. He's always Hitler. And that is just an affront. It's an insult to the 6 million Jews that died in World War II. If you're a Jew and a Democrat, you got to be nuts. And she's also losing her base, the Afro vote, the young Afro-Americans, they're going right. Latinos, the young votes, the 18 to 25 vote, that's all polling Trump ways. So I'm sorry, I'm rambling.
Well, the Muslim. No, it's good. I see even the Muslim vote in areas where, and despite obviously what Trump did, he was the one who put the immigration bans on, was it Iraq and Syria and a number of Muslim countries, mm-hmm. and yet because of the way that the Biden and Harris administration have been running things, we've actually had Muslim clerics coming up and endorsing Trump, which must be a big worry to the Democrats because that's probably another part of their base, which they absolutely need to hold on to.
Absolutely. Minnesota, Wisconsin are huge. They're very key states. And they're coming out now saying if Trump is elected, he's going to put Muslims into internment camps. Really? I mean, that was Jay Tapper with CNN. This was really? He's talking internment camps, mass deportations, people hauled into railroad cars. It's insane.
I wonder, is it a sign of desperation I mean, again, if I'm trying to sit back here thousands of miles away, it just seems the rhetoric is so overblown. I mean, look, Trump has many personality flaws, I would argue. He likes to exaggerate, but what he's been accused of is just so nuts.
It's just insanity. And yet, at the same time, that base that she really relies on, you got Bernie Sanders and AOC. They're her base, and she has just kind of let them, you know, flop in the wind. And you, her rally, Biden didn't even show up. She did a rally at the Ellipse, right at the same place that January 6th happened, and it just kind of her closing speech thing. And Biden didn't even show up at the rally. That kind of says something. So,
it's clear. I mean, says me. Would it be right to say that Biden's got no time for her? He's got his you know, dementia issues, clearly, but he's not so much so that he, what's the word, unforgiving of what she did. I mean, I think he's just checked out from her. Would that be fair?
I would say it's just the reverse. She has no time for him. You know, he's a washed up old politician, and she's just mean. 90% of her staff turned over in the 3 years she was vice president. 90%. That's crazy. She did the town hall. You know, she's abandoning Biden. I'm sorry, I'm changing. I'm evading. But, Biden's just going to be off in the wind. And after this election, I think so is Kamala.
So you've mentioned, so obviously Trump doing his, you know, it's stock standard, the big rallies. You've got Madison Garden, as I say, a three-hour interview with Rogan, which is a huge coup for him. Because I know Rogan spoke against him. But what is Kamala doing? We've obviously seen the attack ads, but she's continuing. Well, who's she focusing on? Where's she trying to get her votes?
Oh, it's the Nazi. It's the Hitler, the internment camps, the massive deportations. I mean, I do make notes before this, so I'm using them up. let's see. She's taking the what she's not doing is talking about what people are talking about. She's not talking about the economy. Because she cast the dividing vote, the deciding vote, on this whole inflation reduction plan, which is nothing of the sort. But you know, she cast that. Immigration, she's got no protection. Inflation, she caused it, and yet it's all about abortion and January 6th and. People are just so tired of it. She has no idea, no new ideas. In fact, big coup is that the major newspapers, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Los Angeles, whatever it is, nobody endorsed her. And Bezos has, you know, said we're not going to endorse for president this year. They lost 200,000 subscriptions to the Washington Post in the past couple of days. And the number was so big, I had to Google it to make sure it was right. It is. They've lost half their editorial staff. It's bad for the mainstream media.
But doesn't that just illustrate how biased the mainstream media is, that a newspaper who actually wants to be neutral, which to me as a New Zealander, you go, newspapers are not meant to be endorsing, they're meant to report the news, not try to sway people. I mean, doesn't that say something about the Washington Post subscribers and certainly their staff if they're resigning because they won't pick a political side?
Well, it's the Post. Yeah, the Post should pick the left because that's who they are. And how dare you? And we are the left and we're here and we are a bunch of, you know, elites. And what do you know? We write editorials. I think they're ranking lower than ISIS was right now. Kamala, remember, she was ranking lower than ISIS and now she's going to be, thinks she's going to be president.
So, I mean, in terms then of some of these big issues, we were talking just before we came on the show that the economy's obviously, well, what is the economy like at the moment? It seems to be something that people are focusing on quite a lot.
Actually, the economy's okay. People are making enough money. Prices are way up. Cheese, milk, bread, just basic gasoline, basic things are way up. Gasoline could be fixed tomorrow. They've basically gone ahead and drained the oil, our strategic oil reserves. Prices, eggs have probably doubled in in the 3 years. So the prices, economy, not good. And people vote with their pocketbooks.
Well, wasn't it Clinton? Who was the one who said it was the economy, stupid? Or is it the... Who was it? There was one of your presidents.
That was Bill. Old Bill. He said, his campaign, it's the economy, stupid. People don't vote abortion. I mean, how many people do you even know that are pregnant? or whatever. But how many people do you know go to the grocery store every week? I mean, and you look at those prices and go, no, this isn't right.
Well, that's where it says me, we may find a more dramatic result than expected. People can get, I found certainly in New Zealand, people can get quite het up or fired up about moral issues, but they more often than not vote on economy, law and order, immigration and so forth. But tell us, because we'll have to let you be, it's Halloween after all, you've got to go and distribute that candy, but tell us about your election day. I should know this, but it's the first Tuesday of November. Well, explain it to us. Why that day?
Election Day in America has a great story. It goes back to the early 1800s, and where the United States was a primarily an agrarian society. We grew stuff. And people had to travel long ways to drop off their stuff and come and go and do commerce and things. And so they said, what are we going to do? How are we going to elect a president? They tried it in like March. It was going to be like in March and things. But finally, in about 1830s, they said, all right, we're an agrarian society. How about have the election in November? Okay, that sounds good. The harvest is in. I got nothing going on. It's not cold enough, to snow or anything. The weather's still fairly good. But, all right, let's do November. And they said, well, how about a weekend? He said, nope, weekends are out. Sunday, day of rest, Saturday. I've got to do the household chores and stuff. That's out. Then they said, well, how about Friday? And they said, no, I've got to do whatever. And they went through each day of the week. This isn't going to work. That's not going to work for whatever reason. And they said, all right, how about a Tuesday in November? And he said, fine. But it can't be the 1st of November because most of the merchants close their business at the 1st of the month so they can do the books from the month previous. So it can't be the first Monday. So they end up on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November.
Lord.
all this haggling over, what are we going to do? Because a lot of people wanted on, why can't it be a federal holiday? Come on, everybody could vote that way. Times have changed. Now we've got, a month-long voting period. I voted last week. It's no longer election day. And so it's funny how it evolves, and it may not be a bad thing.
Well, that's fun. It's not something I was fully aware of. I mean, we always just know it's in November, a Tuesday in November. Oh, look, thank you for sharing that. And look, next time we chat, the election will be it'll be done. So I look forward to, obviously the result, but your commentary on that. And in the meantime, Bruce, to you and Nancy, a very happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. Happy All Saints Day, which is the reason why Halloween even happens in the first place. It's a Catholic holiday for wishing all our those who've passed on, the holy ones and just good family. So I will talk to you next week, and we will have a president-elect, I think. Who it will be, we will see.
We'll find out. Hey, all the very best, Bruce. Thanks for coming on.
All the best to you, Simon. See y'all. Bye-bye.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.